And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, December 12, 2022. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing just fine. Sounds like you're on the telephone.
I am. For some reason, our Comrex didn't connect. I got to get off the air and work with Todd getting it reconnected. I don't know what's going on. I just work here. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, it's either you or me or, you know.
Well, live radio can be a challenge. You know that. So
yes, I do know that.
Just part of it.
And it's not like, you know, we have 80 million different people working on the programs like, you know, some of the...
Yeah, exactly.
Mainstream radio programs and so forth. So, anyway,
We'll get her done.
We'll get her done.
We'll get her done.
Anyway, it's great to have you here. It's great to be here. And today we had a little bit of pressure on gold today. Right now in the New York spot price aftermarket down $17.50 at $1,781. Silver is down 19 cents at $23.38. Platinum was down $26 at $1,008, and palladium was down $68 at $1,958. And you can probably relate that all to Miss Janet Yellen, as all the big news is, you know, hey, inflation is going to be much, much lower. Yay.
Uh-huh.
And, so, of course, you know, the markets did do what they were supposed to do after, you know, some sort of a stupid comment like that. So, anyway, we've got the USDX today stronger by 105.02. Crude oil was up almost 2.5 at 73.41. Paper markets today, of course, they took off 528 points for the Dow. Up over 34,000. S&P was up almost 1.5% at 3,990. And let's see, NASDAQ was up 139 points, 11,143. So everyone is waiting the Fed, big Fed meeting. Here we go again. I get so tired of this. So tired of this. It's just another day. It's just some more Fed speak. It's just so much more BS. And, you know, it just goes on and on. European markets were all negative. Asian markets were all negative. 10-year yield, 5.61, finally moved up a little bit. And natural gas today was up 4.5%, 6.52, 6.52. And, of course, consumers are seeing inflation easing considerably in the next year. You know, I'm sure they listened to Janet Yellen and everyone else. So why would not the consumer see inflation easing in the next year? This was all out by, of course, the New York Fed survey. So everyone is optimistic. Of course, they have to be heading into the holiday season, and we should be. Expectations that both food and energy price increases would be less severe in the coming year. And they're looking at inflation running at about 5.2% pace next year. And still high.
That's,
you know, and that's what they're going to do.
That's still more than double what they want to be, they said.
Yeah. And, you know, probably the 5.2% is probably misjudged anyway. And like I said, what they'll do is they'll bring it down, but it still won't go down to where it was. People just get used to it, thinking, oh, wow, we missed the bullet. Whew, wow. Inflation is down.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So anyway, so easily fooled and manipulated. But anyway, what say you?
Well, you know, we have short memories, don't we?
We do.
We have short memories.
The American people must have short memories but big pocketbooks.
Well, you know, all I can say is people, and I'm saying this about everybody, I mean, myself in the past, are easily placated. When they're really scared, but you pull back a little bit and the scare isn't quite as bad, they'll adjust to that little shock. You know, they'll adjust to it. Then they'll go up again, and they'll adjust to it again. I mean, we just mentioned last week that the dollar has dropped about 97% since 1971. We've had to do some adjusting, haven't we?
We did.
We did some adjusting. Of course, pay raises went up, but the price went up faster than the pay raises, of course. But we adjusted. People are good at that. And they don't seem to think about anything beyond themselves and their lives. And they don't think too much about the children's futures and what's going to happen to them with the new central banking, digital finances, all that. They don't seem to think about that too much until it's right here. But they'll ease it in and tell them how it's for our own good, and they'll accept it as a whole. This been going on all my lifetime and longer, so why should it change now?
But you know what, Butch? I mean, when you look at our population, and it's the majority is baby boomers. And
oh, yes.
A lot of those baby boomers are nearing retirement or already retired. Once you retire and you get to that age, you just don't want to know about anything. I mean, we've always had sheeple, but this is a little bit different. And I think that's why, to a large degree, we don't see the knee-jerk reactions that we used to have, or we didn't see the momentum. I mean, things that should be scaring people really don't, because they really don't pay attention. I've spoken to two people in the last couple of days where they're retired, and they look at their money managers, their financial planners, as they give them a paycheck. Even though, you know, and so... You know, the one told me that they had lost a little over 14%. I says, well, that's not too bad when a lot of people lost a whole lot more than that. It's like, yeah, but you know what? We're back to where we were now. So they've fallen into that that area where their financial planner is. It's like this financial planner has this. Major ability to, if they lose something, to bring it back. And it's so dangerous. But I think even with our politics anymore, these things just don't matter to people who are in retirement. And they, I mean, except for our listeners, of course. But I mean, there's a lot of people who are in retirement now or going into retirement. And they just don't want to pay attention to it anymore. They're done. They want to enjoy. They want to enjoy life, what little they have.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's understandable. They get tired. We all get tired.
We all get tired.
You know, we all do. You know, I mean, but sometimes your life's different than others. You're called to do certain things. And one of my job, of course, as a pastor and preacher, is to be a watchman on the wall and try to warn the people. I get tired of it too, but people's souls and minds are much more important than my few days of pleasure left in my life. I mean, but we don't see it that way long. People just become callous. And that's the saddest thing about it. Again, I caught the Hezekiah syndrome. Hezekiah was caught in a great sin. Was told by Isaiah he's going to lose his kingdom. After he's dead, he's going to be gone. He said, well, as long as I'm alive, it's okay. As long as I'm alive, as long as I get to keep, it's fine. Let my children pay for it. That's more or less his attitude. We're kind of saying the same thing here.
We are.
Overall. I mean, we're getting by. Let our children worry about it. That's sad, but that's attitude of a lot of people.
And they get that from their financial planners, because I've had people tell them when they were getting ready to retire, they'll say, well, do it this way. What are you going to do? Just give it to all your kids. Enjoy life now. So a lot of that idea and that philosophy comes financial planners, because they want all that money to work with now.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly. And that's totally against scripture, because the Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. But that's almost forgotten. I mean, we think more things about a lot more things about the temporal things in life, the mammon, so to speak, of our own lives, and we forget about children's futures. That's what's happened to our country, and that's just the way it is.
And you know what? Someone quoted that to me this weekend also, and I says, you're right. There's that inheritance to your children. But, I mean, not only are they ignoring the financial aspects of it, they're also ignoring the morality aspects of it, the spiritual aspects of it. And to me, that is the bigger inheritance. Yeah,
that's the biggest one.
I don't know if it actually says financial, you know, in those scriptures, but I think it's more of passing along. I mean, I had wanted to buy, and I did this year, a little Christmas, a little book for the baby of the family that is, you know, the Christmas story. And I had actually wanted to do some other things, but I know I'm going to get heat for it, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, why are you going to get heat for it? They don't like the real story? You're supposed to be behind it?
No, most are very settled in are good
tradition.
I would say because they don't want to push the religion onto the new parents.
Yeah.
But that's wrong.
Yeah, that is totally wrong. Of course, I don't do Christmas because it is totally wrong. It is totally wrong. Completely wrong. But you know, but the inheritance of the children, in my mind, always meant spiritual and physical. It all combined in my mind because if you don't leave them a moral compass to live by, you destroy their lives already. So that's what, when I say inheritance, I meant everything from spiritual right on down.
Exactly.
I mean, physical is great, and that should be part of our concern. You're right. Without the spiritual aspect of it, without the morals. Look what we have today in society.
Yeah.
I mean, the case is proven already. All they do is turn around, look what's going on in the communities or in the country and around the world, but basically here in America. I mean, we have totally shut down anything godly and moral in this country. So you're right on the money on that. Right on the money.
So I think you wanted to share a story before we go any further, didn't you not?
Well, I'm going to share this story, and it had nothing to do with finances, but I just want to share it to show you how off base we are. You brought up the topic of not bringing up children the way they should go. And that's probably the scripture also. To bring up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. He asked for his favorite dessert at school, and the school called the cops on him. Now, folks, this is a true story. When a 9-year-old child started talking about the brownies being served during the end of the year party at New Jersey Elementary School is considered racist by another student, and the cops were called in to investigate. Melly, can you believe this already?
No.
On June 16th, a third grader made a comment about the brownies that had been given to the class as a snack. That comment prompted another third grader to claim that the first comment was racist. The staff at William P. Tatum Elementary School determined that this rose to the level of police matter and called the local fuzz. Stacy Dos Santos, the mother of the first boy, claimed that his comment was only about the brownies and was not racial in nature. He said they were talking about brownies. Who exactly did he offend? She asked the Philadelphia Inquirer. Dos Santos stands by her son and said that the school completely overreacted, and the little boy would never do such a thing. He simply made a comment about the snacks. Dos Santos said that her son, who's Brazilian on his father's side, was traumatized, no doubt, by the police officer's line of questioning. He was intimidated, obviously, with a police officer with a gun in his holster. Talk to my son. Tell me what you said. He didn't have anybody on his side. How sad and perverted and sick is that? What are we doing to our children? What are we allowing to be done to our children? I mean, Melody, this is, I knew it was, you know, it gets getting worse all the time. I mean, I remember hearing years ago about political correctness and thought police, and I thought, that's a long ways, and I'll never see that. Well, here it is. A 9-year-old boy that likes brownies for dessert, and the cops called on him. What's he going to do? What's he going to call next time? What's he going to say next time he wants to ask for something for dessert? What's he going to ask for?
They'll have to rename them.
He's going to be scared to death to anything. That is absolutely, folks, that's a true story now. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. It makes me angry that they would do this to a child. A nine-year-old little boy will be scared of, will be scared of the police the rest of his life. That is so
Are we even ever going to have chocolate? Are we able to say chocolate cake?
Be careful. Be very careful. For whatever you do, be very careful. But I just, it just breaks my heart for the children. Like you said, we haven't left them anything in a moral, spiritual basis. Then I can imagine how that mom must feel. I don't blame her at all. I'd be so angry I could probably chew nails and spit bullets. But that's just, that's what's happened to our country because of lack of morality. That's where we are. So anything you add to that?
No, it is just a sign. You know, it's a sign of the times. And it's everywhere. It used to be just in select areas and so forth, but now it's everywhere. Everybody takes offense to everything, and they have to change their own, you know, push their own agenda on everybody. And it's really is, but just this is America now.
It is. It is.
And it's the world now.
A couple months ago, I was in the office here working with Crystal and another lady working in the office, and I made a statement. We made a long time ago about, you know, somebody, well, back in the old days, you used to load your guns with you put in the powder, then a wadding, they call it, like a little patch, keep the powder in, they keep the powder in place, put the ball after that, and, you know, the gun's ready to shoot. So they would say something along, well, you know, he's already shot his wad, and that came out the wrong way then. Now, that's not what this means at all. It made me kind of angry. That is, somebody took that and perverted it. That is not what it means. It's talking about a rifle, loading a rifle. But this is how we come in the day where you get in trouble for totally naive and innocent things that are innocent. And we're seeing it happen right now in America. And even, I'm going to be an old man now. And I don't take political correctness very, very easily. I mean, I've never done anything in my life to mean anybody, to offend anybody. And I don't want to. But if we continue to let them do these things to our children, I know what they're going to do to their minds. I have no idea how they're going to be able to get through this world without saying something to offend somebody. Any comments on that?
No. I mean, it's their world, though, and that's what you have to remember. That's the world that they're being raised in, and that's their world they're being conditioned to. And they will have to make a choice as they get older, what world they want to live in. And
that's very true. Yeah. My goodness, we're through the first break already.
We are. So I get to say we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living. Cause I'm working for a living. Oh, oh, oh.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. No word of the, I haven't seen anything written about the debt that they're trying to come to meetings to pass, to extend our deadlines on the debt. And so it's just, they're just not going to talk about anything that's important and anything that would upset Wall Street or anything that would upset their holiday shopping spending spree. And they refuse to do it. And, you know, it's just no one talks about the bubbles that are, you know, that have been created, that are breaking as we speak. Nobody knows it yet. And so it's but anyway, do you have any news, Butch?
No, I've got different things here. This just happened recently. I mean, you know if you're listening or not, but another food processing plant burnt. It was in West Virginia. A Pilgrim's Pride food processing plant in Mooresville, West Virginia, burned last night. This brings over a dozen large food processing plants to suffer a large fire within the past year. Seems as though someone wants to affect the U.S. food supply, and they are. So another food plant in Mooresville, West Virginia, burned last night. What a coincidence, Melody. In the last year and a half or so, over 130 or 40 plants in different processing places of make our food, raise our animals, have burned or been destroyed, or bird flu caught a bunch of them. Now, this is really a coincidence. This, you know, this couldn't be done on purpose.
Of course not.
You know, I mean, you have to figure that, you know, in a year and a half, they have to average at least five or six plants a month to burn down. No, I mean, that's average, isn't it? I mean, this is ridiculous. But this is what's happening. As we said to Radio Day and share this, we had a pipeline burst in Kansas, and they said it's going to put the price of the fuel up, at least in the Midwest for sure. It's going to go on and on and on. But the food processing plant's going down. I think everybody's trying to feel the pressure on that right now. You're paying $5 a dozen for eggs. That's a little bit out of range. It's ridiculous. Anything like to add to that?
No, I mean, it's just like everything else. People just get used to it. They're the little frog in the hot boiling water, and you do it gradually, and, you know, what are they going to do? What choice are they going to do? What choices do they have?
True.
You know, they'll continue to spend on their credit cards. They all think it's temporary.
Yeah.
And that's how they'll continue.
Well, 9 million millennials moved back in with their parents this year. Now, folks, this isn't meant to be this way. I would certainly like to see the children stay closer to home, but this part of growing up, moving out, starting your own home. The good news is that they still have jobs. If one believes the gold-seek propaganda spewed by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, bad news is that soaring rents have forced millions of young Americans to move back in with their parents this year, according to a survey. As Bloomberg Alex Tansey writes, about 1 in 4 millennials are living with their parents, according to a survey of 1,200 people by Polefish for the website propertymanagement.com. That's equivalent to about 18 million people being at the age of 26 and 41. More than half said they moved back in with family in the past year. Among those who slunk back to the parents' basement, the surge in rental costs was the main reason given for the move. About 15% of millennial renters say that they're spending more than half their after-tax income on rent. Shouldn't that be a sign of a deteriorating economy, Melody?
You would think.
I mean, you would think that would be noticeable. I guess if the parents had the children back, that's probably noticeable then for sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if in at least in my lifetime, my mom and dad's too, I remember they had tough times when they were first married and we were just youngins and Marsh and I had the same thing. But at least we had our own place. We managed to make our own way. Now, today, I mean, we take over half the income just to pay rent or a house payment. How do you keep it going? Kind of hard to do, isn't it?
It is, but I mean, when I was younger, I mean, you have the energy to do more than what you have to do. And you know what? It's. Well, I also had this conversation, you know, people complaining about their wages and talking about the strikes and the unions and so forth. And it's like, well, you know what? When I was younger, if I wanted more money, I didn't strike. I went out and got a better job. I improved.
Yeah, another job.
You went to school. You did what you had to do. So you know, you changed occupation. So you made more money. I didn't request it.
Know.
I mean, I asked for a raise if they didn't. Yeah. I mean, I asked for a raise if they didn't give it to you. Well, you know, it's like, okay, fine. I'll go get me another job where they're going to pay me for my value. And you did. And I did.
Yeah. You try to improve yourself all the time. But, of course, back then we didn't have inflation around at 20% either.
Well, there were still jobs in this country, too.
There were. And they weren't McDonald's. A lot of them were actually pretty good paying jobs. But this is change, folks. This is a change of a nation's economic basis for sure. And we're about ready to see something else happen here, Melody, that could really put a huge damper on the U.S. dollar. We knew about this coming for a long time. Matter of fact, I remember Bob Chapman telling me this, watch out for China. Don't worry about anybody else, watch out for China. I remember Lindsay Williams said the same thing. Well, here he is. China Xi calls for oil, gas, trade, and yuan on Persian Gulf visit. If they switch to the yuan as the petrodollar, so to speak, the dollar, folks, will be worth nothing. Already worth nothing. It'll be worth less than nothing. China's President Jinping had just called for energy sales in Chinese yuan, a move which would weaken the U.S. dollar's grip in the world trade and establish yuan internationally. Yi also said that Shanghai Petroleum and National Gas Exchange should be used by China and other countries to settle oil and gas trades in yuan. Let's repeat that. The Shanghai Petroleum and National Gas Exchange should be used by China and other countries to settle oil and gas trades in yuan. China will establish a bilateral investment and economic cooperation working mechanisms, carry out local currency swap cooperation, and deepen digital currency cooperation, he added. Deepen digital currency cooperation. The Chinese leader made the remarks in his Friday address to the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council summit hosted by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in Riyadh, I can say the word here. But anyway, a Saudi source speaking before Yi's visit had been cited saying that decision to sell small amounts of oil and yuan to China could make sense in order to pay Chinese imports directly. Any move by Saudi Arabia to ditch the dollar in its oil trade will be a seismic political move, which Saudi has previously threatened in the face of possible U.S. legislation opposing OPEC members to antitrust lawsuits. So if the U.S. moves forward with the lawsuits, they may switch to the yuan. What would that do to the U.S. economy, Mildy?
Well, I mean, it would certainly have an impact. I don't know how quick it would have it. I don't know if it would be an instant drop. But again, it's, you know, because we still do those processing in the U.S. dollar for many other purchases and so forth. Yeah. So it is a big deal. I mean, even after 2008, China had said they didn't believe that there should be a one reserve currency. That one country
should
be the reserve currency. And I still believe they'll go into a bigger basket of currencies that will be backed by gold to some degree. Or China will take it over.
We know that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me cut you off.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying, or, you know, China might want to be.
The dollar is, well, the dollar is losing its desirability all over the world. It had been for a long time, especially since 2008. People just don't want it anymore. I mean, they're selling them off fast and getting them. They don't want them. But they see what's happening. Melody, how would you deal with currency that's lost 97% of its value since 1971? That's been 50 years ago, roughly. How would you want to deal with the currency that's lost so much value on the national scene? How would you handle that? Something's got to give. And the petrodollar is dying. It's just about going. There's not much left for it to build on. We saw it coming years ago. We knew it was going to. But the petrodollar boosted up now for, what, the last 40, 50 years? That's not going to last forever. Nothing in the fiat currency lasts forever, does it?
Well, I mean, it's not even China, but look at the Saudis. I mean, it's the Saudis that are putting their thumbs up to the United States. They're the ones who had the final control as far as OPEC and, you know, what they sell the oil and so forth in. So, you know, China is just going to them and saying, hey, you know, but it's OPEC who makes the final decision. But we know they've been, you know, stubbing their thumb at us for, you know, for how long, especially since Biden has been in office. But even while Trump was in office, too.
The BRICS nation, Melody, now carry a lot of weight. Their economies put together are much larger than ours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're pulling a lot of weight. I mean, told by European Union, all that, all those, and us together, the West will say, we're not holding all the cards any longer. We just don't get to keep moving the deck around where you want it. We're not holding all the cards any longer. And it's starting to show in every way possible. It's starting to show.
Well, I mean, I think our biggest problem is we've seen China go in and help other countries, certainly not to the country's benefit, but for their own. You know, but they've gone in there and then they make deals and, you know, they get them out of their issues, their problems and so forth. And look at the United States. I mean, we're too busy keeping Wall Street happy that we can't even build up our infrastructure. We can't do anything to make this nation. I mean, this is the greatest nation on earth. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, when you look at the infrastructures around the world and the up and coming other, you know, have you look at Saudi Arabia lately? Have you looked at Dubai lately? Have you looked at Qatar lately? I mean, you can even go to Japan. I mean, I remember seeing pictures of Japan where they had the nuclear blast compared to Detroit.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah,
they were really rebuilt. Detroit should have been rebuilt. Instead, it just went into decay like so many other parts of the world, of this country. So we're too busy with Wall Street making the multinational corporations wealthier at the cost of our country.
And how many in the last 30, 40 years nations have we invaded to force our will on them, so to speak, in order to save them? You know, take over the wealth, the oil. I mean, we can name bunches. I mean, that we've done that too. We forced them to go our way. Started a long, long time ago. Now, I guess you say the chicken's coming home to roost. America's going to pay for that, and she is paying for it. And now, like you said, the infrastructure's falling apart. We don't have a whole lot of real allies left in the world today that can trust us. So this is where we are. And Biden regime issues $200 million grant to battery manufacturer based in China. Gee, we can do that with China. The Department of Energy, under the fake President Joe Biden, is bragging about a new $200 million grant that was given to a lithium battery company called Microvast, the claim being that it will help expand domestic sources of green energy. The problem is that Microvast primarily operates in communist China. Despite claiming to be based in Texas, Microvast conducts most of its business overseas in the world's largest dictatorship. The Biden regime conveniently failed to mention this in touching the bipartisan taxpayer-funded cash payout as a supposed boon to domestic green energy expansion. Back in October, when the infrastructure law the law grants were first announced, Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm claimed that all such payments were for American trade products, American-made products. This was clearly a lie based on what this incident has been uncovered. Now, can you imagine Biden being involved in something like that with China? That's just about, I mean, it's just hard to believe in it.
Oh, yeah. Shocking.
I mean, gee. Yeah, it is shocking. One white boy got out of it.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, we sit back and we see this happening, but if we talk about it, and we have to try to expose it, but there's unless the people would see it enough to stand up and change it, it's not going to be changed. They're doing it every day. And on top of that, the IRS is cracking down even more. IRS warns a new $600 reporting threshold January 1st that will usher in CBDC, this central bank digital currency. The payment apps were previously required to send users a 1099-K form if their gross income exceeded $20,000 or they had 200 separate transactions within a calendar year. But the new threshold is just $600. Critics warn that small businesses and low-income middle-class Americans are targeted. It is a honeypot of audits. These changes were created by the American Rescue Act of 2021, despite Joe Biden saying that no one under $400,000 would be targeted by this tax plan. YouTube personality Neil McCoy Ward explained that this scheme is going to be used to bring in central bank digital currency, and 87,000 IRS agents, or HIRs, are slated to force a new tax on the people. There you go, people. It looks like Biden may have pulled the wool over our eyes again. Really, that would slaughter small businesses.
Yes.
That would pull them up on the IRS radar in a heartbeat. But 87,000 new IRS agents, I would see they have plenty of help to get it done too, wouldn't you?
Yep. I agree.
I believe you're thinking about something.
How'd you know?
Did you want anything? I mean, 87,000 agents, new agents, and they're going after people who gets that one-time deal on PayPal or other online pay systems of $600 or more. They could be audited. This is absolutely ridiculous, but it is what it is. That's
well,
America
the thing
today,
if it isn't,
folks.
You just don't buy things with that.
But you know they're going to go that.
Huh?
And force in CBDC at the same time. This is just, I don't know how you even add anything to that to say that's just so low. But again, it shouldn't surprise us.
Yeah, I know. And it's not going to surprise us that we're heading into a break, so we will be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. So make sure you don't spend any more than $600 on those third-party. Get a credit card. That's what they want you to do. Go get that credit card, you know. Run up those fees for those banks.
We'll get the CBDC. That's much easier. Just go to BankNet for digital money.
There you go.
And so, I mean, basically, it's all it is anyway. And people say, what do you mean? I'm saying this. You get your check, your money, direct deposited. That's digital. You pay your bills online. That's digital. What's going to change? Nothing but more control, that's all.
Correct.
People getting used to that idea, Melody. I mean, they are used to the idea. So all you have to do is just make it a little stricter. If you don't follow the rules, we'll cut your pay. I believe that's somewhere in the Bible. But anyway, that's just the way it is. And people, like I said, have been getting accustomed to it for years. I still like to do cash transactions when I can. I really do. I don't have a debit card for buying gas with, and I like to pay cash. Don't know that I'm not going to stop anything when it happens, but I'm going to go down and try and make a difference. So there you go. Anything you want to add to that for us?
Nope, I think we're good.
Okay. This is the first on me. I never heard this before. Orlando Airport can run out of fuel Sunday night. How about that? This last night. Yeah.
We ran out of fuel?
The Federal Aviation Administration is warning pilots that Orlando International Airport is running low on fuel, and it could mean hiccups in the days ahead for travelers.
Wow.
In official notice, AG said that the airport could continue having supply issues through about 7 p.m. Tuesday and suggests that airlines should be prepared to operate flights into airport with enough fuel on board to fly back out. Some carriers are already making adjustments to their operations as a result. At least one has issued a waiver for travelers heading to or from Orlando. So I never heard about the airport running out of fuel before.
Wow.
I thought that was kind of a first, at least for me it was.
It is
interesting. It didn't say why. I read the article. It didn't say why. It just said they would or are. But it didn't say why they were. So I thought it was kind of different. You know, if an airport not have fuel, that's if that catches on nationwide, we're in trouble, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, golly.
Well, it's just another thing could happen.
It could happen. It certainly could happen. And it looks, I don't know if this is going to be a trend or not, but it looks like that there's starting to be even more power stations shot up. We'll see. I don't know what that's leading into. I have no idea. I don't guess they're calling anybody done it yet either, as far as I know. But why are they shooting up power stations from North Carolina to Washington State? I mean, why is this? What's going on? I mean, that's certainly not one person doing it. It could be copycats. So I don't know. But Governor Ducey of Arizona's in trouble. I guess you heard that, right?
Yes.
He's getting fussed at. Arizona Governor Ducey stacks containers on border at term's end. Work crews have steadily erected hundreds of double-stacked shipping containers topped by razor wire along Arizona's remote eastern boundary with Mexico in a bold show of border enforcement by Republican Governor Doug Ducey even as he prepares to leave office. Until protesters slowed, then largely halted the work in recent days, Ducey pressed forward over the objection of the U.S. government, environmentalists, and an incoming governor who has called it a poor use of resources. And of course he would. Democrat Governor-elect Katie Hobbs said last week she was looking at all the options and hasn't decided what to do about the containers after January 5th inauguration. She previously suggested that the container be repurposed as affordable housing, increasing a popular option for homeless and low-income people. to take them off the border, open the borders, and give them to people of low income and homeless. Well, that would mean that you'd be home and probably house a lot of illegals, wouldn't it? Because they're homeless. That's it. Build them homes. More homes. I don't know how much it will cost to remove the containers and what the cost will be, Hobbs told Phoenix PBS TV station KAT. Federal agencies have told Arizona that construction of the U.S. land is unlawful and ordered it to halt. Ducey responded on October 21st by suing federal officials over the objections, sending the dispute to court. Environmental groups say the containers could imperil natural water systems and endanger species. A lot of damage could be done here between now and the early January, said Russ McSpadden, a Southwest conservation advocate for the Center for Biological Diversity, who has regularly traveled to the site since late October. Ducey insists Arizona holds sole or shared jurisdiction over the 60-foot, 18.2-meter strip the containers rest on, and it has constitutional right to protect the residents from imminent danger of criminal and humanitarian crisis. Arizona is going to do the job that Joe Biden refused to do, secure the border in any way we can. Ducey said when Arizona sued the U.S. government, we're not backing down. Good for him. But he's got less than a month to go. Then what? I say God bless him. Good for him. I mean, the feds said they own that strip of land. But if they're not going to do the job and keep the border secure, then the state has not only has a right, they have a duty to protect their citizens, don't they?
Absolutely, they do. Supposed to, anyway.
So, God bless him. I hate to see him leave, and then one company is coming in, I really do, and that's going to be a whole different ball of wax for Arizonians who are getting tired of this border stuff, but if they get a governor in, it's going to allow it. What are they going to do to stop it? And we're just days away now from Title 42 being lifted, and I know this from many, many places we're reading. In Mexico and other places, coming across, there's thousands waiting to cross the border the day that's lifted. Thousands. Hundreds of thousands can be crossing the border in a matter of 2 or 3 days when this Title 42 is lifted, the Biden's going to lift. They're waiting to invade the country. So what are we doing?
How comes the Supreme Court? Why hasn't it been taken to the Supreme Court? And if it did, why is it? Or was that an executive order by Trump and all executive orders can be reversed?
I do believe it's executive order. I don't know. Okay. I'm sure somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was. They're lining up. They're literally lining up on the border. You can go online, find pictures of them in camps and different things along the border, waiting for that to be lifted so they can come across. Folks, we're about to be hit with hundreds of thousands of more illegals here. We're going to have to defend ourselves from a lot of them. Literally defend ourselves. I mean, they're raping, they're killing, they're doing all kinds of crime, but they're not punished. And they're just turned loose. Then they're not even sent back across the border. I mean, this is what we're facing right now. We're being invaded by criminals, and the masses don't seem to care. I'm so glad I live in West Virginia. We don't have much to offer them. They don't come here too often. So I'm kind of thrilled with that, in that part of it. But this is totally wrong. It's unconstitutional if you want to go to the Constitution. It's also immoral to let your nation, your people, be invaded by illegals and expect the people to try to survive. Unbelievable. And now this is in the Netherlands, Melody. Listen to this. Cops resorting to tipping over tractors with farmers inside. Protesters peacefully standing with the Dutch farmers are being dragged by police into black vans. The Netherlands police are using heavy machinery to tip over tractors with farmers inside of them. When protesters peacefully stand against the machines, police drag them into black vans, shocking Chinese-style protest enforcement in a supposed Western liberal democracy. The counter-signal reporter Keenan Bricks tweeted, Netherlands police are using heavy machinery to tip over tractors with farmers inside them. It goes on to say, well, what happens with their hauling the black vans? The Dutch farmers have started protesting again today and were immediately hunted down and disbanded by the police and riot squads. This is what liberal democracy looks like under Prime Minister Mark Rutte. The Dutch farmers have protested the country's climate change policies for months, which includes the government forcibly shutting down 3,000 farms. This is unthinkable. This is happening in the Netherlands, the second largest food producer in the world, and they're running over the farmers in their tractors, tipping them over the farmers in them because they're trying to stop this. Could this lead to civil war in the Netherlands, you think, Melody?
You know what's interesting? I was reading an article about those farmers in Netherlands and now how they're talking about some of those farmers that are, you know, that are stepping up and talking a little bit louder. They're calling them conspiracy theorists. They're beginning to,
Yeah.
I mean,
okay. They're going to shut down 3,000 farms, and now they're turning the tractors over with the farmers in them, and they're conspiracy theorists.
And they're the right wingers, you know, far to the right, and you know everything else that comes with it, and then they tag on. But yeah, I was surprised at the article. I can't remember where the article was from, which, but I mean, it was you know, a common one, I believe. It might have been Politico. I'm not sure, but yeah.
As soon as people reject
what the status quo is coming from, you know, what something, you know, from the out, all of a sudden they call you names, they classify you into a group, they put you in these areas where, you know, they shame you.
Sure.
And
well, Hillary Clinton calls pro-life people terrorists. You know that.
Yeah.
But you see, if they can't attack the truth, they attack the truth teller.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And first UK coal mine in decades approved despite climate concerns. I wonder if they're trying to rethink their stand on green. Probably not. But for right now, Michael Cove... GOV Gove has approved the first new UK coal mine in 30 years, despite concerns about its climate impacts among conservative MPs and experts. The proposed mine in Cumbria would dig up coking coal for steel production in the UK and across the world. Critics say the mine will undermine climate targets and demand for coking coal is declining. But supporters claim the mine near Whitehaven will create jobs and reduce the need to import coal. Well, what a good idea. Make your own. The fate of the West Cumbria mining project has been hanging in the balance for 2 years after the local county council initially approved the mine in 2020. The project's approval was suspended in 2021 in a COP26 climate conference in Glasgow after the government climate change advisor said it would increase carbon emissions. The government's advisory climate change committee pointed out that 85% of the local coal produced by the town would be exported. Imagine digging your own coal instead of importing it, Melody, and actually selling some of it. Now, gee, isn't that a stupid idea? Make your own way and sell some access, make some money? Wow. Boy, if that just doesn't, I mean, what do you
they
say?
Must be
I
conspiracy mean, theorists.
They have to be. They have to be. I mean, there's no way they have to be terrorists. You know, they want to dig up their own coal and take care of their own people and sell them to make a profit. What a novel idea. That's almost like free enterprise. That used to be a common saying some time back, free enterprise. You remember that, don't you?
I heard about it.
Vaguely anyway. I mean, I'm reading these stories and thinking they're just not realizing that they can actually sell coal, make money off of it. I mean, I don't know how we got to be so dumbed down, except we intentionally must have wanted it or we wouldn't be there. No way it could happen overnight. It's taken many, many years. It truly has. And one more story real quickly here. The John Hopkins Center for Health Security, in partnership with the WHO and the Bill and Gates Melinda Foundation, conducted Catastrophic Contagion, a pandemic tabletop exercise, and get that, a pandemic tabletop exercise at the Grand Challenges Annual Meeting in Brussels, Belgium, on October 23rd. The extraordinary group of participants consisted of 10 current and former health ministers and senior public health officials from Senegal, Rwanda, Nigeria, Angola, Liberia, Singapore, India, Germany, as well as Bill Gates, bless his heart, co-chair of the Bill and Gates Foundation. The exercise simulated a series of WHO Emergency Health Advisory Board meetings addressing a fictional pandemic set in the near future, Participants grappled with how to respond to an epidemic located in one part of the world, and then spread rapidly, becoming a pandemic with a higher fatality rate than COVID-19. Wow. And disproportionately affecting children and young people. Participants were challenged to make urgent policy decisions with limited information in the face of uncertainty. Each problem and choice has serious health and economic and social ramifications. You reckon they're planning something in the future, Melody?
Well, I don't know. You think? I reckon.
I mean, they said this is something that happened in the near future. Wonder how they would know that. It's amazing. These people can see into the future and plan these things. And this time, they're going to go after the children, not us old folks. They're going to go after the children. And we have to do it all for the sake of the children, right?
Right.
That's how it works. We got about 30, 40 seconds left. Do you want to wrap it up with anything in particular?
Nothing in particular, except I do want to make a comment. The premiums on gold and silver are coming down, and they're just kind of like dropping.
Good.
It's the end of the year, and so that's a good thing. You know, silver prices are moving up and premiums are coming down, so that's a good thing. So you're getting a little more silver for your money, and they're becoming a little bit more in line with, you know, they're still a little on the high side, but not as high as what they once were. They're about $5 less on the premium side. So, and if you buy some a full box of some of the backdated Silver Eagles, it's even less. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. How about that?
Okay.
And I guess we are out of time, so we'll be back tomorrow. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.